Okay, guys, we're going to go ahead and get started with the second session now. Really briefly, was there anyone that wasn't just in the 1 o'clock session in this room right here? One hand. Anyone else? Two hands. Three hands. Okay. Then I will just kind of really briefly review what we talked about for the benefit of those that you weren't here a minute ago. For those of you that were in the previous session, I apologize for the redundancy. Effectively, what we're going to be doing here, first of all, I'm Richard Calderon. I'm a productivity technology specialist here in the Gulf Coast District. Got my colleagues up here today. Jeff and Albert are going to be effectively running this session, the second one in this three-part series of power user training sessions. And then James and I will come back up here for the third piece of it here in just a bit. But essentially what we're trying to accomplish here is we're trying to, in the theme of all of the adoption track, if you've been to any of those sessions the past day and a half now, at this point now we're trying to essentially demonstrate to you, give you guys some firsthand viewing of the different Office 365 services. Not so much just sort of feature by feature based, but really kind of in the context of scenarios to try to give you guys a little bit of an understanding of how we at Microsoft see these tools and services being able to be provided to your organizations to help eliminate or reduce some of those really common business challenges that we feel that most organizations face. This is part two. These resources, which you can actually find in this website, success.office.com, if you were in any of the sessions in the past couple of days, you've probably seen content off of this website. But essentially, the website has these scenarios that are broken down effectively into these five different pillars. We covered two of them in the previous session, where we went through email and calendar sort of on the go at any time, sort of from any device. And then we also covered the scenario of getting it done from anywhere, which really was focused primarily into the Office, both Pro Plus and the Office Online applications, and how, again, you can also interact and collaborate and edit and create and consume documents of different types from just about anywhere at any time on multiple kinds of devices. What we're going to do in this session number two right now is we're going to focus primarily on running more effective meetings. We also do have Albert Chu here, who's from the product team, is going to give us some sneak peek information into the new Skype for Business. So we're pretty excited to be able to share that with you guys here today as well. And then, again, in the third session, then we're going to cover some additional information around store syncing and sharing, which is primarily focused into OneDrive for Business. And then Work Like a Network, which really is kind of around the entire enterprise social story as we see it at Microsoft, but then again in Office 365, kind of focusing in within the Yammer workload and just kind of talking about the and demonstrating those capabilities for you. So anyway, before we got started, for any of you that are new, were there any additional expectations that you had out of this session other than what I just described to you just now? Nope. Okay, great. So with that, I'll go ahead and just hand it off to you guys to get started.
Great.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. So like Kevin said, my name is Jeff Goodwin. I'm a Link Technology Specialist for Microsoft, focused strictly on Link. So glad you guys are here. And hopefully some of the content will be helpful for you guys, right? You can take it back to your workplaces and use it and teach others on what you're doing. Really excited to be able to have Albert come up and share with you Skype for Business as well. So the content that we were supposed to be, you know, about an hour and 15 minutes or something like that, scheduled on meetings, but we're gonna try to split that time between Link meetings and the Skype for Business. So just bear with us. So I'm gonna share my screen here. So I've got a slide up there just to kind of remind me about the different scenarios we're going to walk through from a scheduling a meeting perspective, or creating meetings, or using meetings more effectively type deal. So first of all, customers, how many customers versus partners do we have? How many customers in here? Pretty much almost everybody customer, great. And how many people in the room use Link today? Just about everybody. Okay, good, awesome, fantastic. What about meetings? Do you guys use online meetings? Who uses online meetings? A few, some do, some don't. Okay, awesome. All right. So the first thing we're gonna show here is how to find and add a content to a contact to Link. All right. So the easiest way to do it, in my opinion, is to just type their name in, right? So let's say I'm going to look for Albert. Albert Chu. And so Albert comes up. And from here, I can simply right-click on Albert and say, add him to my contacts list. All right? So that's just simply adding the user to my contacts. Another way to do it is to, let me show you, is to use this little add contact button, right? So if I click on that, you're going to see something kind of unique here. Add a contact from my organization or from outside my organization. So how many of you have ever added a contact from outside your organization to Link? All right, a few? Good, good. Glad you guys know how to do that. You'll see on here I have quite a few lists. I have people that can be in Yahoo or AOL or Skype. The Yahoo and AOL are things that we used to carry, so they're not actually included in Link today. So you can actually add other Link users or other Skype users to your contacts today. All right. So that's just another way to add a contact to your Link meeting. What about checking presence? So same kind of concept. If I want to check the presence for Albert Chu, more than likely he's not online because he's sitting in here. Okay. So he does say he's out of the office, he's away, and he may log on here in a minute and surprise me and be available, right? So why is presence information important to you guys? Why would it be important to you when you're sitting in your office performing your everyday task? Why is presence important?
Well, you know whether somebody is okay with them, they may be presenting, or
you're busy. Yeah, right. It's a quick way to get information, right? So instead of sending someone an email and waiting 5, 10, 15, maybe even a day before someone responds to you, why not just look them up in Link and see if their presence is available? I know one of the things at Microsoft, we almost always start every conversation by looking at someone's presence and then IMing them, right? It's easy for me to say. So I IM someone, hey, can you chat or can you talk? Okay. Almost every conversation within Microsoft starts that way. It's kind of interesting. How do we start? Albert's still trying to log on. Okay. So if I look up Albert, he should be online now. There he is. Yeah, so he's online. And so now I can communicate with Albert. So he logged on via his Link client if you didn't know what he was doing there. All right. So how to add start an ad hoc meeting, right? So ad hoc meeting. So I don't really need to schedule a meeting with anyone. Let's say I just we're chit-chatting in the hallway and someone says, hey, let's go reach out to, Albert, or let's go reach out to Sean real quick. And so we sit down at the PC. I can simply start a conversation with someone. In this case, I'll start a conversation with a friend of mine. Network's a little slow. And so I can chat with Steve. And then we say, well, we need to add Albert to this conversation as well. So I can look up Albert. I can drag Albert right into this conversation. So now we're in a three-way meeting, right? So I can have an IM conversation, have an audio call with Albert and Steve, no problems. So there's no need for me to schedule that meeting. We're just communicating ad hoc. Right? Everybody do this on a pretty regular basis? Yep? Okay, good. Scheduling a Link meeting. Do you guys schedule Link meetings today? Most of you guys that use Link meeting? Okay. So if I go up here, I say schedule a new Link meeting. I'm just clicking on new Link meeting, and it should come up here with our network connectivity. Slowly but surely. All right. Come on. There it comes. Uh-oh. It's trying. Not a good sign. All right. Sorry, guys. You're online?
Yeah.
It's a danger profile.
Okay. Oh. I can barely see it. Okay, let's try to schedule a meeting from there we go. So at this point in time, I can add
a Jeff Hay. Sorry, there's a that's not Michael.
Yeah, it's a little local.
Oh, okay. We can still add external contacts, right?
That's true.
Yep,
that's
yep.
True.
Okay. All right, so I've scheduled a link meeting. There it is. Schedule a link meeting. And from this point in time, I can just join the link meeting, right? You guys have all seen this? How many of you guys have seen from an external party perspective, right? So let me see if I've got the email in my client. Yep. So let me see if I can... Did we disconnect? We disconnected that one completely.
Yeah.
Come on. Why is it not coming up?
Let's see.
There it is. It's just slow.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Let's try this one. Sometimes it happens. Thank
Okay. So here's my test meeting from my Link phone or from my Windows phone. Same thing can occur from an iPhone, iPad, Android phone, Android tablet. You guys aware that we have mobile clients for all those devices? All right. So if I want to, I pull up the email. I could just say join the meeting. The other cool thing that I really like is that once I put it in my calendar, I actually have this really cool button. Come on. It's a, well, in this case, it didn't put it there. But I essentially have this link here. It says meet.link.com, right? And so I can just simply join the link meeting directly from a single click on my mobile device, right? All this is pretty straightforward for you guys, I know. Sure. Not really part of the presentation, but yeah. We could show it to them.
I curse Link when it tries to do VoIP over.
So,
So James was asking if I wanted to show, are you guys aware that the mobile client can actually do voice over Wi-Fi? So if I'm over a Wi-Fi client, the ability to just make voice calls directly from my mobile phone or my Link client over Wi-Fi, not using my cellular minutes. So that's a possibility. Cool thing about that is the ability, say, for an iPad, for instance. I'm over Wi-Fi, I can actually place calls using my iPad, right? So it's a pretty powerful tool. Everything will start here. Wow. We're having all kinds of problems today. What's that?
Oh, you need to stable network.
Yep, so these are some new settings. I have the latest Link Mobile client installed here. And you'll see here these voice settings. It says VoIP always. In other words, the ability to basically say, you know, I want to do join via voice over Wi-Fi or voice over my data channel all the time. Anytime someone calls me, I want it to go over my data channel or if I'm connected via Wi-Fi. I could say VoIP over Wi-Fi only, meaning that if I'm not connected to a Wi-Fi channel, I want it to use my cellular minutes, okay? Or always use my cellular minutes, okay? What else do we have here? So I did join this meeting that we created a while ago. We're in a meeting here. Sharing desktop, you guys aware of how to share your desktop, sharing PowerPoint presentation. I see a lot of nods here. Looks like it's boring content to you guys because you guys do it every single day. I think everyone in here is doing this and they're like, yeah, we've seen this. Is there something new, right? Is that what I'm seeing in the audience? Okay. So I'm not real sure what else I can cover for you guys because you guys feel pretty comfortable with Link meetings. That's why I'm struggling here a little bit. So I guess we can turn it over to Albert to do Skype for Business. Unless you guys have specific questions on Link meetings, are there any very specific questions? Yeah.
So when you use your dial in, not over Link, when you dial in and you have the code,
mm-hmm.
is there a way for the code to populate without having to? In other words, if you're the call leader and
yep.
you have a specific code,
right? So if I'm on my cellular phone and I'm trying to join, are you saying that if I join the Link meeting from my Link client or no? You're saying if I dial in.
So you're saying there's a dial-in number. Is there a format that you as the meeting host can put it in with like, you know, the all one word, comma, blah,
comma,
blah.
Comma, comma, yeah, so, the pin.
Yeah, that varies from device to device. So right. It's very difficult to get one that works across all, at least that's been my experience.
No, you're right.
So the short answer is no.
Yeah, it has to do. I mean, if I put five commas in there, for instance, it may work on one device and may not work on another device. It's all a timing thing, right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Is there any workaround for that? Is there some sort of Link functionality where you might have to admin to download the web base?
No, anything that has to be downloaded onto the client is going to require admin rights on that PC.
We are working on something new which will not require the download in the future.
Right.
It will be HTML5 base. Yeah. So, but right now, with the current version, it requires the add-in.
Yep. There was another.
That's a good question.
We still have Link on-premise, Link 2010 on-premise. Our exchange is 365.
Would we be able to do all that? Yes. Yeah, so the same.
We do it, we
Yeah.
Yeah, the same functionality that you have on premise works in the cloud. The only thing that's missing from that perspective is voice, right? Yeah. Good question. I saw one more hand. Nope. Link meetings. Any more questions on link meetings? Cool. Okay, Albert. That's a tough subject.
Thanks, Jeff. All right. Just a quick introduction. My name is Albert Chu. I'm based out of the mothership in Seattle, Microsoft. Okay, I've been in Microsoft about 17 years, about 8 years in Singapore, covering the whole Asia Pacific region, and about 9 years up in Seattle. Had worked on a couple of interesting products, including Excel. Anyone use Excel? Of course. Okay, some of you. So if you have ever used this this feature called Flash Fill, okay, I named it.
You did well.
Yeah, I'm the guy who's responsible to make Excel a lot better in 2013, and with all the Power BI and stuff like that. And so after that stint, I did that for about 3.5 years, and then I moved to Link to help Link be, you know, great again. So in any case, all right, so the next half hour or so, I would like to cover something that's exciting for all of you. As you have heard, Link was brought into the Skype organization, and for the last probably a year and a half, we have been operating under the Skype organization. So on 11th, which is November 11th this year, we have made an announcement that we are going to rebrand Link to become Skype. It's just not a full rebrand, but there's a couple of things that comes with it, all right? So the next half an hour, I'll take you through what we're going to talk about. Can I put this up? Yep. Okay, so maybe a quick video, and we will get into it. Okay. Does it have? Oh. Oh, the volume is all the way down.
It should be up.
Okay. Where's the volume?
It's muted. It's all the way up.
I think it's actually being piped out.
Is it?
Yeah.
Through the HDMI.
It's HDMI. Okay. So.
Device to the local speakers, which is like my volume.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's start again.
Okay.
The magic of Skype brought the world face to face like never before. Making first steps, falling in love, even splashing around with penguins, possible from anywhere. The power of Link revolutionized how teams work together every day. Transforming the way colleagues saw sharing, collaborating, and each other. And now, the best of Skype and the best of Link are coming together, connecting hundreds of millions of people around the world. Introducing Skype for Business. It's the experience you love and the security you trust, together, all in one place. So go ahead, roll up your sleeves, make big decisions. Get out and discover. Meet up. Share. And make a difference. Because we believe when people come together, they can achieve great things.
So how many of you use Skype? Everyone. Great. So we don't have a user adoption problem, do we? Since all of you know how to use Skype, then I think that the Skype for Business is not going to be dramatically different. In fact, the whole thing is going to come together. The familiar experience that all of you have come to love and know, plus all the enterprise security compliance and control are all going to be in Skype for Business. Okay? So a couple of you have probably heard Satya Nadella, our CEO, talk about how we are redefining productivity. And he talked that probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And if you really look at what we are trying to achieve in our vision, it is really trying to make everything work for people and organizations and just make things happen, right? So they, everybody can come together, work together, and make things happen very quickly. But when you look at what our vision is trying to do, at the heart of it, communications is probably one of the most important things. It is those moments where we would like to share, talk, and collaborate together and make decisions very quickly. Those are the moments where you need a tool that really helps you to make that very seamlessly. And so we really believe that, you know, as a first step to that vision, we are rebranding Link to Skype for Business so that we are able to bring all the goodness of Link as well as Skype technologies together into one single product for the enterprise. Probably a lot of you know that today in our business world, we use a lot of the different modalities and technologies to communicate. A lot of us will definitely have an IM kind of, you know, a tool, or, you know, a lot of us probably will use phones, probably still using a lot of phones, yeah? We use voicemails. I know some people love voicemails because sometimes you just don't want to talk to them, so you just quickly leave a voicemail and get out of the way, okay? I know those are some of those scenarios where you can call it the sales scenarios. But more importantly, if you really look at it, there are a couple of technologies above that some of us will probably use very frequently. Audio conferencing, especially. Some of us are still probably trying to dial in quickly into a bridge and connect with other people, more than just two, definitely. It probably will be three plus people or more, and try to, you know, have a quick conference call. Video conferencing isn't something that's new. Skype has definitely transformed the whole landscape. Even our grandma to our grandkids all start to connect with one another, and I think those moments that they share together really create very extraordinary bonds. And finally, I think what is most important is that online meetings or web conferencing are becoming a very important tool in our business world. It is when all of us have been doing a lot of individual work, when we have to come together to make business decisions, we probably will need a tool that helps us to talk easier and collaborate and talk through, you know, all the different variables and finally make very important business decisions. That's where I would say web conferencing is a very important tool. How many of you use WebEx here? Or GoToMeeting? Okay, so most of you use it, okay? So if you have used those technologies, you definitely are familiar with that technology. You can also use Link as part of the whole equation as well. So 10 years ago, you definitely have seen that Microsoft had tried to transform this business. It is the way we are trying to transform this business is by bringing the power of software to bring all the different modalities into one thing, which is what we call Link today. And it has really helped streamline the communication in our business world. Today, I would say that the way I work is so different. I think about 6 years ago when they said we are taking away all the phones, we are like, guys, are you crazy? Like, you know, it's not even conceivable. It's like, I need a phone on my desk, right? And as they took away our phones, they eased it in a little bit by giving us an IP phone, right? And so, okay, you know, the IP phone is great. But what I realized is that as I go out and talk to customers, I realize that I'm not at my desk, right? I'm just not at my desk. So if I have a very important call, I will miss it. Well, Link solved the problem because now it will ring on my laptop, right? Or even on my mobile phone. So if you really think through all the different scenarios and the way you have worked, if you have ever deployed the full scale of Link, the on-prem version right now today with Enterprise Voice, it really has transformed the way a lot of people work, especially those people who work from home, telecommuting, or those people who just don't have an office, who is always out at the client's office. Those are the moments where Link just shines in a way that, you know, we have never worked like in the past. And I've loved those moments. Now I don't miss my phone at all. I don't leave my desk phone. It's like, that's fine, okay? I've looked at my own calendar. On average, I think I spend 3 to 4 hours on the phone, on Link meetings. I know it's very important to still meet face-to-face. We probably will still meet it once a while. But the rest of the time, because we are all very busy people, we will probably jump on the Link call and just have a quick meeting and get our work done very quickly. How many of you use Link meetings on a daily basis? Yeah, there you go. Okay. And the rest? No meetings? No, I'm just joking. Okay, so at the same time, Skype itself has been something that has just changed the world, right? Like I said, you know, from grandmas to grandkids, it has just totally broke down all the distance barrier and has forever changed the lives of people. I personally had one experience. Just about a year ago, my best friend got married, and he's from UK. And there we are in Redmond, but his father is having his final stage cancer and they couldn't fly over. And so we actually had, he had the wedding in Seattle, and the father and, you know, and all the rest of the other families were all watching the wedding through Skype. How great is that, right? That is just amazing. That is just so amazing when we look at it, right? The other thing that I realized that, you know, I used to have a traveling job as well. And my kids miss me quite a lot when I travel. I have 3 kids. But I've discovered this very important feature in Skype, which is called auto-answer. Anyone know about that auto-answer? Well, if you use the desktop, there's this thing called auto-answer for video. And what happens is that I took one or two old computers at home, plug it in, set the computer to be on 24 hours a day, and now I actually can have a conversation with my kids any time of the day. I could actually find out around the house as well, because I'm about 3 or 4. It's like my own CCTV at home. I just love it. The best thing is that I have one just right in front of my television, and if you're playing Minecraft, I definitely know about it. So that is something that, you know, we have been able to share very special moments and create extraordinary bonds. Now I can travel. I have no problem about it. Okay? So when you take these two really powerful things together, what do you get? You really get Skype for Business and what we call it, all right? Now, for those of you who are asking, like, okay, so what is this Skype for Business? Does it mean that there's no more Link? No, it's not. You can think of it as like, it's a bit of a reskin of Link into Skype for Business. I'll show you how a screenshot will look like afterwards. I can't show you the full product because if I did, I have to kill you, but I'm not in the mood of killing anyone. But you get the idea. So we are bringing the best of both of these technologies to make sure they come and look very seamless, that people know how to use it when they're at work because they already use it at home. So user adoption is just going to be so much easier. I definitely have seen a lot of my customers who say, "What?" When I ask, do you know Link? They'll say, I'm not sure what it is. Right? Now I call it Skype for Business. I think people will just say, straight away to resonate with it. All right. On top of that, I think what is also very important is that we are not changing a lot under the hood. You still get all the enterprise-grade security, compliance, and for IT folks like all of you, you still get the control. In fact, you get even more. All right. What we are releasing in the first half of 2015 is that we're going to deliver 3 things. The first is the client. It's a new client. It looks new. It looks fresh. We are going to deliver a new server. We haven't quite released the name yet, but you can imagine what it is. It's going to be Skype for Business, and then you add a word server. And then you're going to get also a new thing called the service, right? It's going to be Skype for Business Online. All right. And so when you bring all this together, It's just a very exciting moment. So, I know for some of you, you don't want to wake up tomorrow morning and suddenly all your users dial in and say, hey, where's my Link? Now it's called Skype or Skype for Business, right? No, it's the reason why we're also announcing it early is so that all of you know about it, it's coming, but you also can prepare for the day when we start to release this thing. I had this conversation with one of the gentlemen who said, how do I image the whole thing and make sure they can get all the image, all the different images of all the computers. I think this is the moment where, you know, as we announce to you, you can start to prepare and think about how you can roll out Skype for Business in the first half of next year. So,
I got a question.
Yeah, sure. Right.
How much time before June 30th can companies access, you know, the installer file and whatever to start baking it into the image and all that good stuff?
Okay, do you all hear that question? How soon can you get it? It's going to be a bit of a phased approach, but you can imagine that a lot of the bits will be made available to the volume license first, and then you know subsequently all the rollouts will happen to the rest of the general, what we call general availability, right? So the dates right now, you should think about it, is when we say in a half-year range, our target is somewhere in the middle. Okay, so you know where we are talking about. I can't give you specific dates, but it's somewhere in the middle.
So
yeah.
So is the provisional answer maybe sometime in March, one could access the bids under an enterprise agreement?
Yeah.
Maybe it's all ready by the end of June?
Yeah, correct. Okay. And so well, probably about 30 days after that, it will be GA, general availability.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about the time frame that you can expect. Yeah. So the yeah.
And let me ask another question.
Sure.
In terms of, I know there are various plugins out there. For example, you know, you don't want to hear it, but Cisco has a plugin called CUCI for Link.
Oh, good luck.
I'm
just joking. I'm just joking.
Link with that Cisco plugin to control Cisco phones that you already have in your environment. Is there any reason to believe that things like that
You can imagine that in every new releases, there will always be something that will be broken. But as far as possible, we are actually retaining as much as we can so that the amount of testing that is required by our third party is going to be minimized.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so as you can see here, what we are doing is that, we, like I mentioned, we are bringing together the best of both worlds, right? So first of all, I think some of you know we are going to use the Skype icons. It's not going to be a secret to you, right? For initiating a call, an audio call, a video call, those kind of things, you will see the Skype icons, all right? The second thing that we're adding is the call monitor. Any of you know the Skype call monitor? I actually love that thing. Unfortunately, it wasn't available in Link. It's going to come to Link, all right? It's going to come to Link. And while you're having a meeting or you are, when you're in the middle of the call, if you switch into different modes, you'll still be able to look at it. And you know, just like this, when you're in a full screen, you'll always still see the call monitor up on the screen. Or if, let's say, if you're using Excel, you're sharing your desktop, the call monitor will still be there. It'll always be there. There's definitely a lot more other investments we are making to optimize the whole client from a stability to reliability point of view. So the whole thing is being reworked. Some things that take 3 clicks is being reduced to 1 click, etc. I have 2 gentlemen, so can I take his first and then after I'll take yours?
So
yeah.
You say the call monitor is always going to be there on a mobile device or on my desktop device?
It's on a desktop. There's the client.
Okay.
The call monitor, this thing.
Right. I mean, I know what it is, but we share a lot of applications and desktops where we just want the content. We don't want any of that. So in Link, I have like Presenter View now. And
right. Sure, you can actually just close that.
So you close.
Yeah, you can close it. Say again.
So you can get it. Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, I was just curious, one of the things that when I use Skype is kind of like to be, we talked about earlier, using Dial, calling into you know, other people's conference bridges and using the pauses, and you can't do that in Skype. Is that currently, is that something that
some of those areas are definitely being addressed.
Okay.
I can't give you specifics. You know, we definitely know about those like dialing and stuff like that, which are annoying in some ways. The whole user interface actually has been smoothened out. It looks way better, smoother, slickier. I can tell you those things that we all hate, we are being is being addressed. Yeah. So definitely one of those things. And as you know today, you can do IM presence as well as audio. In the future, with Skype for Business, you will get video added to the whole client as well. So you can actually initiate a video call with one another. But more importantly, we also have federation with a Skype directory. So from what Jeff showed just now when he typed Albert Chu, it will also search the external Skype directory as well, not just your internal directory, but also your the Skype directory. So there's federation out of the box on the client itself. Yeah, that's enabled out of the box, but you can turn it off. Yep, you can turn it off. The second thing you should know about is that even though there's a new user interface, we definitely know that some organization may not want the new user interface immediately because maybe they have trained, you know, the users just in the last month or so, right? So there is going to be control for you to flip a switch where you can use the same Skype for Business client, but it uses the old UI of Link. Okay, it's going to be there. Yeah, in effect, the only difference is that you can do video calls, you know, to the Skype world. You also can search the directory and stuff like that, but it's all in the old user interface. So it's going to be a switch that you can actually do. All right. So those are the things that we are working on. And then for those of you who are still on premise, how many of you are still on premise? Okay, many of you. Okay. The good news is that there is no server upgrade that's required, or rather, there's no hardware upgrade that's required. What we will do is that this new release is going to allow you to have in-place upgrade, and allows you to upgrade your 2013 to Skype for Business server. And what we are going to do is that, you know, it definitely raises the bar in terms of reliability and performance and stability as well. We definitely recognize a couple of things. You know, we are getting there, and this new release will definitely fix a lot of things that we have seen in the past. So good news for all of you. Just upgrade it. It should be fairly seamless in terms of the upgrade. Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good question. What happens if you're using 2010 today? Yep. The upgrade path is going to be 2010 to 2013. 2013 to Skype for Business. It's going to be a two-step away. Yeah, because 2010, it's quite far back. I mean, like, the servers itself are probably quite underpowered for 2013. So even though there's a logical path to it, there will still be a lot of things that you need to add. Especially a lot of roles has been eliminated in 2013. A lot of, like, the director role and stuff like that, all those has just gone away. So, yeah.
Up a new infrastructure, can you go with 2010 but still kind of get all of the user configuration, everything that you did in Skype for Business, or do you have to upgrade through 2013?
My understand on the roadmap today is that you have to go up to 2013 first, then 2013 up to Skype for Business. Yeah, that was what we have built in the product. Yeah. All right. And then for those of you who are using Office 365, the good news is that you don't have to do anything. The service will be upgraded. You know, overnight, you will have a couple of new things from the admin console. And you know, from your client perspective, nothing changes. Everything should just stay the same. You don't have to do anything at all. All stays. Yeah, you don't have to do anything at all. Okay. The only thing that we are really doing is making sure that it is robust, it has better performance, and it has better reliability. Definitely those are the things that made into the Office online itself. All right, any other questions?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah. The OWA experience will actually be better.
The what's
experience? The OWA.
OWA, I'm so sorry, I thought the O, OWA.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, OWA, the experience will actually be better.
Yeah, the roadmap is that you will see a new link. You can call it client from the website, okay? So that means you can initiate let's say an IM, and then say I can escalate it to a call, an audio call or a video call. So all those is available from the web itself.
So just so I'm clear.
Yeah. Yes, that is correct. So if you are an OWA and you say you're talking to Richard and you say, hey, I want to call Richard, you can initiate that call without any plugin at all. So that's what's going to happen.
So, but you're not going to, I assume that it's, you're not saying it's so good that you don't need to install any plugins.
No. Yeah, it's not. It is not a full-fledged replacement for the client. The client is still the place where you get the full richness of Link.
You let your users go home and sign it on their own PC and then
right.
OWA.
And yeah.
Well, we're still running into the same issue that I brought up with the schedule on hand. For somebody not in your organization, they're still going to have to download something.
That is being addressed. The future is that you do not need a download. That's what that's the roadmap. That's what they are building towards. No download.
Well,
at least as we talk to the marketing, as the marketing guys are telling the engineering guys, like, guys, we can't have downloads anymore, right? So as we build a roadmap together, we talk about these kind of issues and say the product roadmap says that we need to not have any downloads. That's one of the requirements.
So is that technically possible, or is it a challenge technically?
So there are definitely challenges that you have to overcome, right? Certainly, if you have a very old computer that doesn't support the right codecs and stuff like that, all those issues are there, right? So not all computers can just say, I suddenly can run HTML5 on a computer, right? There's an element of technicality that needs to be solved. But there'll be minimum browser requirements, there'll be... Yeah.
And is the OWA experience of Skype for Business going to be limited to Internet Explorer, or will it be any HTML5 browser to look just as good, or what?
It will remain as, you know, whatever that we have supported today. That means HTML5 browsers. Yeah, so it's Google, Chrome, Mozilla, and IE. Yeah, that's the three top browsers that we support. All right.
Now, how will that... Okay. That's fine.
All right. So last thing probably just to share with you, you know, for us, this is really something that... that is very exciting for us. You probably won't see many times in any companies or in our careers that we rebrand something from a very big business, especially Link, and combine it with Skype and coming up together with this whole thing. But when we look at the value of doing this, it's really threefold. The first is, like I said, you know, it's adoption, user adoption. We definitely hope that with this rebranding, since everyone knows, you know, Skype, I think the brand equity of Skype is just so huge that the user adoption is just going to be much easier for your organization. So we expect faster adoption. Second thing is that with this release, you can expect that we have that deeper reach into the Skype network. If you think about it, today there are about 300 million users of Skype. And according to some reports, Telemonitor or something like that, today, about 40% of all calls, all IP calls, are on Skype network. I don't know whether you all knew that. It's huge. 40% of all VoIP calls around the world, the globe, everyone, 40% of it is on Skype calls. So what we are definitely doing is that we are working very hard to make sure that, you know, a lot of people who are not on Skype are on Skype today. Yeah, we are continuing to grow our user base. It's definitely bigger than any Yellow Pages or White Pages, what have you, today. But more importantly, the universal reach is going to enable a lot of new abilities for all of you. As you think about it, you can reach people outside of your firewalls, right? You can connect with the people that's just not within your organization, but something somewhere outside as well.
And you may have touched on
it
earlier.
Sure.
Of our organization, but we don't want everyone else to be chatting with grandma. Is it on a per
Sure.
Basis, how does it work?
It will work exactly as how it is today on the O365. We have not made any new improvements in sort of federation, but you know it's an on and off, right? You turn it on. I don't think so. It's per user. It's per organization. Yeah. You can. Okay. Yeah. So we have not made any improvements. So whatever it is today, it will be in Skype for Business. Okay. I think thirdly is that you know it definitely lowers the cost and simplification management for Office 365. I think it should not be a surprise to you. I know we do not have enterprise voice today on the cloud. It will come. Okay, it will come. And you can imagine that in the US, most of you who are in the US, you can expect to subscribe for Office 365 and also have the enterprise voice add-in as part of the whole package, right? So, and you can, there will be things like, you know, the numbers being ported over to Office 365, there will be call park, there will be all those kind of things will come on Office 365 in the future.
What's your prediction on that?
I think it's going to be sooner. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be sooner.
So you mean no on-premise server needed?
Correct. Correct.
And that's with Microsoft's voice, not Intercall or whoever?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I think the other thing that I should also cover is that today what you have is that there's an on-premise or you're on Link Online, right? So your users are either on one or the other. The model that we are working on today is going to be on this concept called a hybrid. And why we have this hybrid is because we believe that there will be new services that will roll out on the online. For example, Skype broadcast is going to be something that is, you know, is going to be for large meetings. Today, you know, our Link meetings support up to 250, which meets like 80-90% of all the meetings. Is that edge cases, the 10% of people who needs it a little bit more. We will have a service up on Link Online where your on-premise can connect to the online and enjoy that new facility. So in the future, everything that you work on is going to be Link hybrid or Skype for Business hybrid, not so much Skype for on-prem or Skype for you know online. It's going to be just blended together. Right. Right. So there will be things that doesn't go away. The network will still have to be optimized, right? We still have to take care of, you know, country regulatory stuff. All those things will stay in place. But what I can say is that that there are a few initiatives that we are working on to improve on the network side of things. And let me know if I'm talking the right things here. But anyway, so firstly, you will know there's SDN coming out, right? SDN, Software Defined Networks. Those are actively being looked at from a network perspective. So in the future, you can imagine that the routers will be smarter, so that you know, when I'm connecting with Richard and you know Jeff here, they will allocate me more bandwidth when I'm talking to them. Maybe I'm the CEO. I'll always have the maximum bandwidth available. Okay, SDN will help solve that within the network. The second initiative that you should think about is this thing called the Express Route, Azure Express Route. And Azure Express Route is basically giving you the ability, if you think of it, buying extra bandwidth directly from your own network to the data center, so that your whole experience for meetings are just going to be way better than what it is today. Because of the you know the ability, because of the connection up to the data center, so those are the sort of like some of the initiatives that we are working on. Yeah, am I answering your question correctly?
Yeah. Just a limitation, and maybe it doesn't exist anymore. But for example, I register someone in Link Online.
Uh huh.
When you register them, you have to say what country.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yes.
Work around it, right way or not, is you just everybody in the United States and you don't have any limitations, right? So and some of the administration, right? So you had limited PowerShell capabilities, if things were working around.
Right. I see. Okay. Yeah, those things unfortunately will have to stay, especially though, when it deals with regulatory requirements. We are not going to let it, we cannot circumvent it, right? So, and yeah, you know, Skype is based out of Luxembourg, right? And it's based out of there for many reasons, taxation, compliance, and all this kind of stuff, right? It's not based in the US for obvious reasons, right? So, any other questions? That's pretty much what I wanted to cover in 30 minutes, which is exactly what I hope to achieve. Sorry, just on time? Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
I was going to get to that here really quickly. So we got a couple of giveaways here. Let's pull this back up. Where were we?
True or false?
True or false here.
The feature that Albert named was Flashdance. Anybody false? There we go. This man right here. Look him up.
Okay, first person to raise your hand and correctly answer this question. This was from Jeff's session earlier. True or false, external users can be invited to link meetings. I think it was over here first. True. Okay, awesome. There you go. Congratulations. Okay, and one more. This is from Alberts. Everybody's paying attention. Microsoft will release Skype for Enterprise in the first half of 2015. Who raised their hand first over here? Who could see? Because they look like, it looked like it came over here. Sure, the answer is true. Okay, that's right.
Nope.
Skype for Enterprise or Skype for Business? Because it's called Skype for Business. I guess that's kind of a tricky. It's a tricky question. So, yeah, it's called Skype for Business. I kind of want to give it to you anyway because that might have been me mistyping it maybe up there earlier. But okay. So again, thanks for coming to this session. We're going to take about a 15-minute break. I think we're supposed to start at 4. So you've got between now and 4 o'clock. We'd sure like for you to come back again. Please, we would highly encourage you to fill out the evaluations. That's really, really useful for all of us, obviously. And if you do decide to come back, we're going to finish up with those other couple of workloads we mentioned, the store, share, and sync stories. And we're also going to talk about working like a network. And I think we're going to be wrapping it up the rest of the day. So thanks again.